And everywhere I looked this week, it said, spring forward. Today, we're going to focus on springing forward. This time doesn't have to upset you. Isn't it something that the Lord has led us into renewal in 2020? And he's also said to us, while this renewal's going on, this is going to be a time of war, because 22 scripturally refers to war. Is it happening? While things are going on in the Ukraine, someone fired missiles at the U.S. consulate. Do you know where it was? Did you hear it? Where was it? In Iraq. This is a time of war. But because we are of his body and his blood, we are not afraid. I want us to think about springing forward in this time. Time has changed today. Time has changed. Already this year, for many of us, times have changed. There have been some real changes, and we've just hit the third month of the year. Are you hearing me? It's time to spring forward and not be knocked down. Last Sunday, we read this passage. Read it with me from Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, the first line of verse 2. Read it with me. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted or tested by the devil. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And when he was led into the wilderness, the enemy bombarded him for 40 days. Have you felt like you've been bombarded since the first of the year? Just one thing after the other. Then, verse 14, you need to mark this in your Bible. Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, goes into the wilderness, but after the 40 days of struggle, he comes out. Jesus returned to Galilee, read it with me, read it loud, in the power of the Spirit, not in his own power, but in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Always remember, the praise is short-lived. Quiet in this Pentecostal church. When you read verses 16 to 29, it says that then Jesus goes to Nazareth, to his hometown. He goes to church and he takes part, because he is a rabbi, he takes part in the service, and he reads Isaiah 61. And as he's reading, the scripture says everybody's sitting there in the synagogue going, oh, isn't that sweet? That's Jesus, you know, Mary's son, you know, Joseph, bless his heart. Joseph had passed on. But, you know, he was a carpenter. Look at him. He's a rabbi now. Isn't that wonderful? And after Jesus gets through reading, he says, this scripture's fulfilled in your ears, because I've been anointed to preach the gospel. And then he begins to give some scriptural illustrations of the prophets and how they ministered to folks and at the same time avoided others, and that made them angry. Do you know what they did? The same group that sat in the service and said, "Isn't he wonderful?" They ran him out of town. Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except where? In his own town." Because they think they know more about you than God does. Nobody knows more about you than God. Your mom and dad don't know more about you than God. There is a passage of scripture I want to share with you that you and I need to get settled in our heart. John chapter 16, verse 33. Read it with me. In this world, you will have what? There is no victory until there's trouble. And it's not that God sends it on you, but it just comes. What did Jesus say? Read it with me. But take heart. Or King James says, Jesus said, be of good cheer. What it means is don't be discouraged. Don't be despondent. Don't be down. Read, I have overcome the world. Since we have trouble, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus in Luke 4, going into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost, the enemy bombarded him for 40 days. After he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit, but people give him trouble. Say people. They weren't demons, they weren't evil spirits, they were people. People opened the door to the enemy. Romans chapter 7, sin seizes the opportunity. We are living in a time of trouble. Everybody say trouble. Well, Pastor, I thought this was renewal. This is going to renew you when we find out what he has provided for us. Write down Matthew 12, verses 43 to 45. Read it when you get home. Jesus said, when evil spirit has gone out of a man, he looks for a place to dwell. He comes back and he finds the house swept and garnished. But then this one spirit goes and gets seven more evil spirits, more wicked. Now, this is tough for me to understand, that in hell there's a devil that's worse than another devil. But Jesus said he gets seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they take over that person. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, that didn't have to be. Why did that happen? Can I give you Dr. Burrell's approach to this? They didn't know how to handle trouble. Trouble, difficulty, whether it's at school or on a ball team or at work or at home, just driving down the road. Folks will yell at you and think the highway is your fault and you haven't done anything. And you're going, what are you flipping me off for? I'm just trying to stay in my lane. Seven other spirits. This is what I think goes to work about our lives and around our homes. We need a proper perspective of problems. Jesus said in John 16, 33, in this world you will have what? Trouble. King James said tribulation. That word tribulation is translated trouble. You will have trouble. It just seems like something's going on all the time. You ever been there? You step out of one and into another. It's just Jesus comes out of one battle, and for a little bit, people are excited about him and praising him, and he goes home, and they throw him out of town. You can't please, folks. Here's a proper perspective of problems. Problems, ladies and gentlemen, have no respecter of persons. Oh, you know, I'm just, if it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to me. No, if it happens to anybody, it happens to everybody. It's not just you. Well, it seems like nobody else has a problem. Yes, they do. They just might not tell you about them. Secondly, a proper perspective of problems is that problems have a limited lifespan. There will be a victory. It may take 40 days and it may take 9 months, but it does have a lifespan. Thirdly, problems contain opportunities. The enemy came and bombarded Jesus, and it provided Jesus the opportunity again. Can you imagine for 40 days Jesus said, you remember I threw you out of heaven once, I'll throw you out again. I did it once, I'd do it again. It contains an opportunity. When the enemy comes at you, what you need to do is what one man of God said. He was sleeping one night as he was in a meeting in a foreign country, and he said he felt something come into the room, and he said things started moving, and the air got cold, and he said he sat up in the bed and looked around, realized the enemy was there. He said, oh, it's just you, and laid down, went back to sleep. It contains opportunities. Fourthly, problems will change you. Say that with me. Problems will change you. They will make you better or they will make you worse. You determine that. Problems have no respecter of person. They have a limited lifespan. They contain opportunities. They'll change you. And you can't control them. Because a lot of times the problems come not just from an evil spirit, an attack of the enemy, but people do it. And you can't control people. There are some folks that are determined to make other people's lives miserable. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. Sometimes you can't control them. Number six, problems will either produce panic or a solution. You choose. Remember that. How do I, when a problem comes, look for a solution rather than panic? It's real easy to flip out when something happens. And the church said, it's really good, really easy to start yelling at everybody because something has happened that they had nothing to do with, but because they're nearby, they start paying the price as though they're the one that caused the problem. So Jesus said in Matthew 12, he said, there are seven other spirits. Now, the first spirit that gets involved in problems is the spirit of control. It wants to control Your attitude wants to control where you're going, wants to stop you. It's a spirit of control. Remember, there are eight evil spirits in the last scenario of the man of Matthew 12:43. Remember that. The spirit that was there originally goes back. He sees the house clean, and then he has to get reinforcement. He gets seven more. So there are eight spirits in that house. The first one is the spirit of control. The second one is narcissism. Everybody say narcissism. Everything we say and do is to control other people. We can make them think we care when we really don't give a flip. Wow. Because all that's in our mind is what we want. What we can get out of this. Am I helping anybody? See, Jesus said in this world you will have trouble because there is a spirit of control that is in this world right now. They want to control what you think, what you do, and it's very, very narcissistic. Secondly, there is a spirit of distrust. If someone says something kind to you, be careful, they could be blowing smoke. One of the tools of the enemy is to create distrust in a family or a church or a town, city, a state, a nation. Create distrust. Very few people in America trust one another. The members of some of these activist parties, they don't trust one another. They'd sell one another out in a heartbeat. Thirdly, I believe there is also the spirit of arrogance. You're stupid and I'm smart. You don't know what you're talking about, I do. Sometimes the best way for us to handle some problems is just be quiet and listen and observe. Jesus did that over and over and over and over. Watch the response of Jesus through the scriptures with problems and issues. His response is the same every time. He either asks questions or he says nothing. And then when he has determined what needs to take place, he spoke the word. Is that helping anybody? Fourthly, when problems come, there is a spirit of panic. We start yelling, we start screaming, or we isolate. Not everybody yells, not everybody screams. Not everybody's voice goes up six notches. My mother-in-law calls it high, wide, flat. I've never understood what that meant, but it works. It just gets way up here and you're going, whoa, hold on. We're not trying to break crystal. Hold on. But we all panic. Some folks panic and don't say anything, but they freeze. There's no response. They let people run over them. They let problems run over them. Jesus never let anything or anyone run over him. When he went to the cross and didn't say a word, he did not do it letting them run over him. He did it because he had a task ahead. Number five, one of the spirits that attack us in problems is covetousness. Oh, if I was just so-and-so, I wouldn't have these kind of problems. Oh, if I just had more money, I wouldn't have these kind of problems. Oh, if I wasn't married, I wouldn't have this kind of problem. You said that when you were single. If I just had somebody to help me. Now, what's happened now? When it's hot, a man wants it cold. When it's cold, he wants it hot. Most of the time, man wants what he ain't got. That's not scripture, but it'll work. Covetousness. I want what somebody else has. There's another spirit that comes in. Suicide or self-destructive. I'm no good. I'm stupid. I'm never going to amount to anything. This is just the way it is. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? More people commit suicide without ever pulling a trigger than you realize because they just give up on life. Oh, that's just the way it's going to go for me. The seventh spirit is the spirit of chance. This is a spirit that won't depend on God. Well, I'll just try this and see if it works. Why don't you stop and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah, but they said I've got to. Who are they? I love it when people say, you know, they said so and so and so. Tell me, who are they? Well, them. Who's them? Come to find out, it's only one other person. So how do I overcome if Jesus is my Lord and I'm full of the Holy Spirit? What do I do rather than letting these eight spirits work in my life? Really? Here are seven godly attitudes for problems. Number one, instead of a spirit of control, we submit to God. Heavenly Father, tell me what to do, I'll do it. And sometimes he'll tell you, let go. Sometimes he'll tell you, hold on. Sometimes he will tell you, fight. Sometimes he will tell you, leave. Remember the prophet of God that God said, I want you to go to the king and I want you to prophesy against the altar. And on your way back, don't you stop and speak to anybody. Don't eat with anybody. Don't stay at anybody's house. And a false prophet heard about it and heard, sometimes you don't need to tell everything God says to you. Heard that the man of God wasn't supposed to stop anywhere on his way home. So this false prophet walks out and sees the man of God walking down the road and says, I'm a prophet just like you. Everybody that says they're a Christian ain't. Well, I'm a Christian and I do so and so and I'd say this and I do. Ignore them. This false prophet convinced this man, and he said, but the Lord told me, he said, but I hear from God too. It's okay for you to come in. He went in and ate with him and stayed with him, and when he left his house, a lion killed him before he could get home. Ask the Lord what he wants to do. Wow. Submit to the Lord. Find out from his word, what do you want me to do? Before I go to the next one, look this way. When he tells you what to do, don't ask flesh and blood what they think. Do what he says and stay with it. Yeah, but I thought it was going to happen quick. Just do what he said. Not long ago, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you told me to do so and so, but it just seems nothing's happening. He said, did you do what I said? I said, yes, sir. He said, rest. So guess what I've done? Rest. Instead of narcissism and it being about me, as a Christian, I become selfless. How can I help you? I turn my attention from myself to others. It's not that I ignore what's going on with me. It's that it is going to build me up to build others up. Is it helping? Instead of distrust, I'm going to trust. I generally detest these kind of illustrations, but I just want to share with you, as a person that's been raised in the church, I am a preacher's son. I have seen in the church some of the most unbelievable displays of ungodliness in people called Christians that you can imagine. I have seen it directed at one of the kindest men I knew on the planet. And I know what it is to almost to feel hate try to get into your heart for everybody that called themselves a church member. I had every reason to distrust anything that said church. But a good man said to me one day, "Son, do not label everybody the same as the two or three people you've just seen. There are good people in the church." You know what? I've discovered that. It's just that bad people in the world, on the job, at school, at church, just make more noise than anybody else. That's why I think good people should praise and worship and sing and pray in tongues louder than anybody. Don't ever distrust because of what somebody did. Am I helping you? Jesus did not distrust the very people that nailed him to the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Those folks that I saw treat my dad so badly, I was able to see years later them come back and repent and make things right. And my dad was this close to those folks. "Well, I could have never done that." You can if you walk in a spirit of submission. I'm not going to distrust. I'm going to be selfless. Instead of being arrogant, I'm going to walk in humility. And you don't have to tell people when you're humble. They'll know it. Humility never announces itself. Fourth, I don't panic. I have peace. Take a deep breath and let's think about this. Number five, instead of coveting what other people have, I give. When times get tight, my wife and I give away more. Why? Sow seed, babe. Sow seed. Number six, instead of self-destruction, instead of ending it, I have hope. Suicide is a result of a loss of hope. Instead of hopeless, I become hopeful. Number seven, instead of taking a chance, "Well, I'm going to try this." No, what we do with purpose. Repeat that after me. What we do with purpose. Say it again. What we do with purpose. You can never do anything by chance. Is this helping anybody? So, what do I do with this, Pastor? How do I apply this? Being full of the Spirit like Jesus, we remain the same. See, the Holy Spirit just doesn't give you the shalom okais and the heebie-jeebies. The Holy Spirit gives you stability. Remember Hebrews 13:8? Remember this? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul said, remember your leaders that have sown into you and how they have given. They're not here anymore, but remember what they did. And then he says, remember that Jesus, through all of the things he went through, listen now, we've never heard it like this because everybody's talking, Jesus is going to help me. He's never going to let me down. He's the same. We know that, but that's not what this verse is speaking of. It is saying, remember, you can be like Jesus. You can be the same tomorrow like you are today. You can be next year like you are today. Why? Because I'm like Jesus. Whoa. You really believe? Yes, sir. Have you ever seen those folks that no matter what came along, they were just the same through everything? That's what this scripture is saying. You can be the same through anything you go through. Jesus didn't panic when stuff happened. He stayed the same. How do you know? Come to the piano. That doesn't mean I'm finished. That means the music's going to make me go longer. Listen very carefully. Jesus said when he is being tried, he says to Pilate, Pilate says, what is this all about? Don't you know I have the power? Don't stand there and not answer me. I have the power to have you killed. I can let you go. Jesus said, you don't understand. All I have to do is say the word. There'll be 12 legions. Come and take care of me. The reason I'm not doing anything is because I've a job to do. I'm ready for this. Let's get it on. That's what it means. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to us, John 14, John 15, and John 16, he said, the Holy Spirit, we talked about it last week, he will show you things to, say it loud, come. He will show you things to come. So, you don't have to be surprised. It doesn't have to hit you like a truck because you're ready for it. That's why he says, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Never stop. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was a man of prayer before he hit this trail at 30 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was the same. Did you know Jesus dealt with aches and pains and soreness and stiffness just like any working person did? Did you know Jesus had pieces of wood that would not fit correctly just like we have had? Because he was the Son of God, it didn't mean every time he sawed something, it fit perfectly. He had to make adjustments. Wow. You need to hear what I'm saying to you because this is important for you. Hebrews 13 and 8, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I can be the same today and forever. Think about it. Has anyone ever told you you could be the same today and tomorrow? You can respond correctly. You don't have to respond like your family says. Yeah, but we're close. So what? They don't have to determine the way you respond. Well, do something. I am. What are you doing? I'm praying. And when he speaks to me, I'll do something. Right now, since I don't know what to do in myself, I'll find out from him. Wow. Is this helping anybody? See, it's time to spring forward. God's going to lead you into new places, and you're going to do new things, and there are going to be new problems and bigger problems. And your response to those problems will determine your victory. You can be like Jesus, be the same. Catch yourself. Father, I thank you that the spirit of panic does not have charge of me. The spirit of control. I am not trying to be in control. I submit to you. You tell me what to do. Then I take control. Amen. Wow. Why have you not thought that you could be the same through everything? Wow. Because we've never been told that. You can still sing and shout and praise God and carry on, but if you sing and shout and have a good time and worship and all that kind of thing, when problems come, you'll fall apart because you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost. He will guide you into all truth. Stand, please. What if I don't know what to do? Somebody needs to write this psalm down and never forget it. Psalm 18. Write that down and never forget it. Because that is the psalm that says, my enemy's coming against me. He's hurting me. He's destroying me. And I called on the Lord, and the Lord got up off of his throne, and the whole earth shook. And he, with one foot on one cloud and one on another, harnessed the cherubims of heaven. And here he comes. And when he comes, the description of God in Psalm 18 makes Rambo look like a sissy. And he comes and he takes care of things. When you can't, that's why you need to be submissive. Sometimes he'll say, just be still and watch. Wow. Be still and watch. You're going to learn how to do this. You're going to learn how to do this. Oh, man. Do you know why the disciples were so good after Jesus left at handling the stuff that came against them? Because they had watched for 3.5 years. And when he left, they were like him. They were the same today and in the future.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256. Visit us online at zionca.org or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia, 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.